special thanks to our sponsor this episode, the Batavia Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more at bataviachamber.org.
I think as long as your heart is in Batavia and you care about the town and you want to see it improve, I don't care how long you've lived here. You could have lived here for 2 days and said, I want to be involved in this town. You know, I think that's what it means to belong. I think, you know, you have to have some stakes and some interest in being here, you know, and I like to think that Batavia, I mean, we have our own issues, but I like to think it's a pretty welcoming place. And so I try to be part of the group that is welcoming.
Hey, everybody, I'm Richard Clark. This is Area Code Batavia, a podcast about what it means to belong in Batavia, Illinois. One of the very first conversations I had for this podcast was in a large, unfinished, mostly empty building with Ariane Scholl, who also goes by Annie.
We are in what used to be a windmill factory.
This was back in July. At that point, Hearth and Hammer had shut down for several months in order to move into their new space. By now, you've probably seen that new space. If you haven't, you should check it out. It's downtown, just catty-cornered to the library next to that record store, Kiss the Sky. When you do see the new space, the first thing I think you'll notice is a giant couch and a literal hearth in the entrance.
And then there's like a really fun brick road happening in the center of it I was told it was brick from Chicago. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've been told.
Chicago brick.
But yeah, we love this space because of the history, the old limestone walls, the really huge ceilings.
There's an inherent feeling of coziness that you get just walking in, a feeling of being at home. I felt it even when the space was unfinished.
It's nice to be more centrally located, you know, when we look out the window, I feel like I'm part of the town.
Annie wants to build a welcoming hub built on ethical sourcing, conscience-driven commerce, and a space where anyone can feel welcome and included. But like the space we were in that day, creating a sense of belonging in Batavia for all is unfinished work. And at a time when many of us are so aware of how much work there is to be done in these areas, there's a difference between contentment and resignation. I wanted to explore those tensions between creating a space that feels like home and a space that challenges us to strive for something more, even in the midst of coziness and comfort.
You know, we say we're like a people first company. So we mean like not only like when we're sourcing our goods, we want them to be as like ethically or sustainably sourced as possible. Mm-hmm. We try to pay attention to the supply chains of where things are coming from. A number of values that products have to meet at least one. So it's like women first, BIPOC owned, sustainable or ethical, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we won't order it.
Yeah.
So that's something we really try hard to do because it's hard to be like a conscious consumer in the current world.
It is. Yeah.
And it's a challenge for us because it's also hard to find these products at a price that people can afford, especially in the current economic climate.
When was the first time you ever felt like you belonged in Batavia?
That's a good question. You know, I desperately wanted to get out of here in high school.
So you're one of those. You're one of the people who grew up here.
Yeah.
And of course, at some point, you hit 15 or 16. You're like, I've got to get out.
Anywhere else, please. Yeah. So I moved to Chicago for 7 years.
Okay,
and
makes
sense. In 2014, we moved back, and we rented, it was actually Louise White's old house.
Okay,
so, you know, there's the school Louise White, and she has the house that she lived in is off of 25 and was previously for rent.
Uh-huh.
So we moved there. And I would say in 2014, when I moved back and I started kind of seeing Batavia through like a, not like an outsider, but like as someone who hadn't been there for a while, I started to love Batavia again. And I would ride my like yellow Schwinn bike down to the Popcorn Depot and get popcorn. And like really appreciate the river and how beautiful, like, the dam is. I mean, I know the dam is bad for the river, but just, you know, over there by the Changwon Mall, it's beautiful.
Is that, like, settled? Is that settled? Do people all agree that the dam is bad for the river?
I think the environmentalists and ecologists and the people that actually know what's healthy for the river have decided that that is true. Because
I haven't looked into this subject, so that's interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of controversy around it because if the pond. But anyways, you know, and I just started appreciating, like, the history and, like, the old buildings. And so I think that's when myself and my husband Andy were like, Batavia is actually kind of cute. You know, and we were older and had different interests. And
was your husband also from here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're both sort of in the same situation where you'd moved away and then came back and fell in love with it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. So I think that's probably maybe when I decided I wanted to belong here. I think I probably always belonged here since I was born here. And my whole family, but not my whole family, but most of my family was here. And so it was sort of like, okay, fine.
Did you struggle with reentry, though? Like, did you have a period of outsider-y feeling?
I don't think I had an outsider feeling. I think I really missed the food that was in Chicago. At the time, I was vegetarian, and it's very hard to be vegetarian out here. It's getting better.
Yep.
And I'm so thankful for places like New Moon Vegan.
Yep.
Make it very easy to eat vegan.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think that was probably the hardest thing, and that things close so early.
Yeah.
Because in the city, it's like 10 o'clock and I want espresso. They're somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And out here, it's kind of like 7 o'clock and maybe something is open.
It is kind of crazy how living in an area like this just turns you old. Because you just give up. You're just like, why even stay up if I can't go anywhere?
I know. It is true.
Though I have been at Wilson Street Tavern for a very long time.
Okay.
In the night.
Okay.
So that's been nice.
See, and I'm not a beer drinker so much. I've thought about just, like, posting up at Sturdy Shelter and writing, because I'm like, people will
be there.
Yeah. So maybe I will do that one day. But that's I'm like a coffee shop person, and, like, really, they all close at 5.
Go to bed at 3.
Yeah.
Because it's over after that.
Literally.
Yeah. So you pretty quickly felt like you were a part of Batavia. And at what point did you, like, what's the moment that you and your husband said, not only do we love Batavia, we want to start a business here. We want to start Hearth and Hammer.
I mean, I started working on Hearth and Hammer when I lived in the city. We had a booth at 715 Vintage where we sold vintage goods.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started making the candles when I was there. So that was kind of the first moment that it was like, Hearth and Hammer is in Batavia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started doing the Artisan Collective, and we did, like, their holiday market.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't ever think we're going to be millionaires. And, we came to that conclusion quickly, and we're like, if we want a house and a business, we cannot do this in Chicago. And we knew we wanted to have a child, and I wanted our child to have, like, the same freedoms that I did growing up. You know, like, I love Batavia because kids still, like, walk to the quarry, they ride their bikes, they play in the neighborhood with their friends. Like, you know, we know so many people in our neighborhood that, like, as she gets older, it's like there's people on, like, every block to kind of be like, check in. If something weird seems to be happening, go to this house.
Yeah.
So I had nannied in the city for a long time, and I just saw that, like, these children had the, you know, tightest leash. And I don't blame their parents, because it was just like, you know, it's more dangerous. Like, you don't know your neighbors.
Right.
So I was like, okay. So that's kind of when we decided to kind of invest and stay in Batavia.
Mm-hmm.
And I joke, I think we were like 25 or 6, and we're like, we need to move out of the city and go to the country and have more space and a porch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, God, we're so old. Like, when you're like already 26. At 25.
Yeah. I definitely was not saying that at 25 or 26.
I know.
I wish I was, maybe.
I don't know.
But I was, I mean, you know, I think there really is a feeling of, like, suburbs, blah, like, at that age. So I'm impressed, I think, that you had that thought at that point.
Yeah. I think I was just growing tired of not feeling super safe all the time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know?
There is a tension, especially when you're moving from somewhere like Chicago to Batavia. There is a tension between safety and opening your world mm-hmm. a little bit, and like diversity and inclusion and, yeah. and things like that. And you did mention like POC owned brands and yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious like how you thought about that then and how that has played out in the course of your life here and also like running Hearth and Hammer.
I mean, that was maybe the main driving point of me wanting to stay in the city uh-huh. was so that our child had more, you know, exposure to different people and cultures and things, because Batavia is very like, you know, it doesn't have a ton of diversity, unfortunately, right. socioeconomically or otherwise. When I lived in the city, I was teaching at a school in Pilsen, so it was primarily Mexican American. Uh-huh. And when I thought that we were going to stay in the city, I was like, I will be sending Ramona to this school, mm-hmm. you know? So she would have been like the 1% of white kids in uh-huh. the school, which uh-huh. I loved for the idea for her.
It's great.
But, yeah. You know, so when we moved back here, I was like, all right, we really got to go out of our way now yeah. to find more diversity and to like open up her eyes to other cultures and things, because she doesn't always just see them like at right. school or et cetera. So I think it's a lot in like my motherhood world for her to try to, you know, diversify, even as simple as just like going to Bocadillos mm-hmm. and introducing different foods to her. Mm-hmm. I put empanadas in front of her so many times until she decided that she liked them. Uh-huh. I was like, you will eat these because yeah. I'm going to be eating them,
yeah.
you know, things like that. But yeah, I try to do our best with the products in the store as well, because yeah. I truly believe, you know, you can vote for the world you want to see with your pocketbook, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. So, I really do try to keep like a large array of, you know, BIPOC, women-owned brands and that sort of thing. Yeah. And brands that give back in different ways as well, that donate to like schools, literacy, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Because there's part of me that still feels guilt of not being a teacher anymore, mm-hmm. especially since I was teaching in like an underserved community,
sure.
you know, I yeah. felt very like, so selfish of me to leave yeah. and go just try to do my own creative whatever.
Yeah.
So I do try to give back as much as I can with this business yeah. and try to use it to support and spread awareness and raise funds when possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's being like a responsible citizen
right.
as well. I think we should all be doing that.
There's, yeah. there's a sense in which it's inspiring to me because you know, guilt is real, right? Like the guilt thing, it comes almost built into moving to the suburbs a little bit or moving to a town like Batavia.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, I'm someone who grew up, I guess, in a town quite like Batavia,
okay. but
in the South, right?
Okay.
So, and I went to a public school that was like 50-50 people of color and white.
Okay.
You know, that was a huge deal for me mm-hmm. to have that experience. And so moving here was a little bit hard in that respect.
Yeah.
But I think the flip side of guilt is something I see Hearth and Hammer doing, which is sort of aspiration or okay. like trying to shoot for a goal mm-hmm. that you haven't yet achieved.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I'm curious like how conscious that is.
I think it's very conscious. Yeah. I try to buy things as ethically as possible myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were going to make a store, I was like, great, I'm going to source everything
yeah.
so that when I go to buy it, I personally feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we'll find other people that care about it and that they'll know, oh, I can feel good about buying this
yeah.
thing. You know, and it comes down to quality too. Like, you know, people often ask, like, is everything local here? And I'm like, everything isn't local here because mm-hmm. for us, it isn't local first necessarily, it's quality first. So, you know, we try to source local goods, and if we can get it quality and local, then that's great.
Yeah.
We love that. We want to yeah. do that. But sometimes it's hard to do partnerships with local folks because they haven't gotten to the point yet where their goods is as quality as they need to be, or they understand wholesaling. And so we try to partner with people in that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say that the buying and thinking about the ethics and who's making it and where is it coming from, like that's very, very at the forefront of what we're trying to do.
This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by the Batavia Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Batavia, I've got a quick tip for you today. Have you ever felt like you needed a roadmap for connecting with Batavia businesses and customers? I myself, as a business owner, often know the struggle of trying to get the word out and to build relationships. And I also know that it can be difficult to know what's going on, where, who is around, what sort of things are available to do in Batavia. Well, I know one really good resource for those of us who are in Batavia and looking to be more connected to our community, and that is the Batavia Chamber of Commerce. I'm really appreciative of them for being a sponsor of the podcast. They're not just about doing fancy events, though those are cool too. They've got a ton of resources that help you network and champion everything Batavia. What I love about the Batavia Chamber is that they're a big reason we can even do this podcast. They understand the importance of supporting the voices of our community. They've been really supportive from the beginning and are supporting us right now by sponsoring us. So seriously, whether you're an entrepreneur, a shopper, or you just love Batavia, check them out. It's bataviachamber.org. Find out about memberships, events, all that good stuff.
How did you, when you started Hearth and Hammer, how did you expect that to pan out?
I had no real plan. I thought that I was, air quotes, retiring from teaching to write. Okay. That was my goal. So I was nannying the bare minimum I needed to mm-hmm. in order to write. And mm-hmm. I was submitting poems and things to journals. And I did get some things published, and that's great. And then I was in a writing program, and I was like, oh, what if I made candles based on classic novels? Mm-hmm. And Andy is a designer, so I was like, can you make the labels? We put them on Etsy, and then it got more traction than nice. I thought it would quickly.
Very cool.
So I didn't have a game plan.
You just went with it. You were kind of riding a wave a little
Yes, bit. I just followed the wave. I said, okay, I guess I'm supposed to own a candle company. Yeah, so, you know, cool. That's kind of, but no, there was no real forethought in that way.
I see. So, like, what was the hardest thing about it after you started Hearth and Hammer? What was, like, the biggest struggle you found yourself having?
It's just, I knew nothing, really.
You know, business-wise?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I have a lot of common sense, and I am intelligent, and I can learn things. So that's what I had going for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have any friends that owned businesses either. So, you know, it's like this like maker culture wasn't very big, as big back then. Mm-hmm. So, or at least I wasn't friends with the people. So I had to teach myself everything. You know, I just Googled and asked questions and reached out to people and just collected information as much as I could. So that's something I try. Like when people come and they want to sell things to me, I always am like, I'm happy to give you advice because I know how incredibly like lost you can feel when you don't know the answers.
Yeah.
And someone just saying like, hey, have you applied for a sales tax number? Like you're going to need that. You know, it's like helpful.
Was there ever a part where you felt like you were having to compromise your principles? Because you have, this is a values forward, like you have really specific values. It's really interesting because it's clear from what you carry. Mm-hmm. It's not as if you do have signs out front that sort of state your values.
Yeah.
But you also just, you can see from what's there. Have you struggled with where to compromise those things for financial reasons or otherwise?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's like sourcing goods can mm-hmm. be difficult. Mm-hmm. There are some things like crinkle paper that I can only get from certain suppliers that mm-hmm. I know, like, I don't agree with their views mm-hmm. on things. Mm-hmm. But if I don't get it from them, it costs twice as much in, like, a, like hundreds of dollars sort of way.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to say, like, well, we're of no use to people if we go out of business based on this specific issue,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it is, sometimes there is, like, a picking and choosing in that way where it's, like, okay, you know, if I stand on my principle and then I run out of money, then, you know, I'm not supporting these brands and, you know, X, Y, and Z. So there are times where it's sort of like, okay, we're going to try to solve that point.
Right.
But
right.
for now, we just have to like swallow it. You know, right now we're really trying to move away from Uline because they've got very interesting views and things. So, and you know,
Google it, people.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, and I guess a customer last year had gotten a bag and it said Uline on it. And they were like, I thought, you know, you guys were moving away from them. And honestly, I appreciate when people call me out because I say it specifically so that people hold me accountable. Uh-huh. You know, I wouldn't say this on Instagram if I didn't want people to be like, excuse me. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes we need something in a day and it's like either I have no bags or I have Uline bags. So, you know, we do our best to try to part from people when we discover things that don't align with our values.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely challenging. It's also challenging because we'll buy things from small like makers.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I can only know so much about where they're getting that from.
Yeah.
So that's why I say like there's the different value points, you know. So it's like, okay, I'm going to support the small jewelry brand or this hair clip brand or whatever, you know. And sometimes I ask them questions about their supply chains. And sometimes I go, we live in a world where every hair clip is made in China, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes people see made in China and they're just like, it's made in China. And I'm like, a lot of things are made in China, and there's also good sustainable factories in China.
Right.
So like, we can't just see China and say garbage or China and say not sustainable.
Right.
You know, so that's like, there's a lot of like teaching myself and then needing to teach consumers.
Also. And there's a lot of intention behind that too. It sounds like, where even if you're making a compromise, you're doing so knowingly and you're doing that like with an intention, a future intention.
Yeah. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, we never will be.
Well, one of the things that's interesting to me about this is like, none of us are perfect. And I think one of the biggest struggles that, you know, even my family has, we want to shop at Hearth and Hammer all the time for everything. Mm-hmm. But like Walmart and Amazon are very tempting.
100%.
And like they have, and what I'm not doing is making a case for shopping at those places instead. But I am saying, I'm acknowledging a reality, which is that I think a lot of people listening to this, and certainly our family, has to make those decisions sometimes. As a birthday coming up, and we're going to have to get them, they want a specific thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or even like they want a thing that I just know we can't afford if it's from here.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
But, you know, I mean, I feel like I need to now say a disclaimer. Prices aren't that much higher at Hearth and Hammer. In fact, they're pretty good. I'm just going to throw that
out
there.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. Yeah. In fact, they're pretty good.
No, I mean, I think people struggle with that decision making all the time. And I like your model of making those decisions with intent and with an eye toward sort of knowing where the boundaries are a lot of times.
For sure.
As often as I can, I'm going to do it this way. And otherwise, you know, sometimes I have to make choices.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we do not carry LOL dolls. And you know what? My daughter is obsessed with them. So am I at Target often buying those? I sure am.
Yeah.
But yeah, same thing. I mean, we try to carry things in different price points for that reason also.
Yeah.
It's because I don't want anyone to come in here and be like, I can't buy a single thing.
Yeah.
And Hammer.
I really appreciate that. Like I've noticed that myself as I've come in and been like, all right, not this stuff, but I can do something over here.
Yes, exactly. Know? Yeah. So we do. And I mean, I love when teenagers come in because that was another thing is growing up here. There was like nothing. I was at Panera every Thursday. Drinking a Frappuccino.
That's so funny.
I know. It's ridiculous. I don't know if we had like a local coffee shop at that point. And now Panera's gone. But yeah.
The one right here is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the one that used to be downtown. Yeah. The one that I could have walked to in high school.
Right.
But yeah. So when teenagers come here and, you know, they buy their like $2 pen and a couple stickers and I'm just like, and some candy or whatever. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
There's a place for them to be.
That's awesome. Yeah. What has owning a business in Batavia taught you about yourself?
You know, the thing I've realized is, and probably what I love the most about it is I go on these, like, if you grew up in Batavia pages and things to try to get inspiration for what, like, the neighborhood stores and things used to be like in town, or people will just talk about like different businesses that like when they were growing up existed and they don't anymore. Like, you know, I talk fondly about like Rainbow Variety, which is where I got penny candy, and it was kind of like a Joann Fabric candy. I don't know. I'm not really sure. All I know is I was in the candy aisle.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what else was there. It's really nice to feel, like you had said, like belonging, like to feel like you belong in a place and that you're also part of like the history of it. I like that maybe 10, 20 years from now, a kid will be like, remember that little store? I mean, hopefully we'll still exist, but you know, it's like, remember that little store we used to go to, and we got candy and we'd ride our bikes there or whatever. So it's like, I guess I've noticed that I'm very sentimental and nostalgic.
Yeah.
And I like appreciate being in a town where I care about it.
Yeah.
You know, when we were looking at moving our location, we looked at some locations in Geneva and we were just like, my heart's not in it. You know, like I'm really in it because I love Batavia and want to be a part of it and be a part of like making it better. I wouldn't have that motivation in Geneva, and owning a business is hard.
Yeah.
So unless you have some sort of like thing driving you, it's like easy to give up.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the driving thing for me.
Yeah.
And I also learned, you know, especially during the pandemic, like we're very, very resilient, you know, like, and both Andy and I are really good brainstormers and problem solvers. And I appreciate him as like a business partner, because when things get difficult, like, you know, we just had to move the opening of our shop a month. We sat with the whiteboard and we're just like, okay,
what does that mean?
What are all the things we're going to do to make the most use of that time?
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to shore up? What are we going to have the team do? You know, for maybe an hour, we're sort of like mad and frustrated. And then we're like, okay, we can't sit in that place for that long. We gotta change and adapt. And so, yeah, I've learned a lot of resiliency.
What about Hearth and Hammer could only work in Batavia?
I mean, I really feel like Batavia and the surrounding areas like care about shopping local more than other places. I've heard other business owners that I'm friends with elsewhere, and they're like, your customers seem amazing. We do not have that same sentiment here. And I just think like Batavians, they love Batavia. Like, and I know that you always love like your hometown or like where you live, but I don't know. It just seems extra fervent. And I mean, sometimes like when we first opened, they'd be like, people would come in and they'd be like, how Batavia are you?
Right, dude.
You know,
so they're questioning whether you belong here.
Yeah.
When you first opened.
Yeah. And someone was just saying, they were like, how do you know if you're a Batavian? And someone said, if you buried a grandparent here or something. And I'm like,
well, I hate that.
I know. And I was like, well, I don't have that, you know? So, I don't think that's true.
This is interesting to me because like part of this entire podcast is just exploring the question of what does it mean to belong in Batavia?
Yeah.
Question, fair warning, I'll ask you in a minute.
Okay.
But, that question haunts me, but as someone who has moved here five years ago.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I don't want to live in a town. I don't want to live in a town full of interlopers, people who just come and leave. I've been in those towns.
Yes.
And it's a bummer in its own way. Mm-hmm. I also don't want to live in a town that like looks at you like an outsider if you've been there 10 years.
Right, for sure.
And so, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think let's answer the question. What do you believe it means to belong in Batavia?
I think as long as your heart is in Batavia and you care about the town and you want to see it improve, I don't care how long you've lived here. You could have lived here for 2 days and said, I want to be involved in this town. You know, I think that's what it means to belong. I think, you know, you have to have some stakes and some interest in being here, you know, and I like to think that Batavia, I mean, we have our own issues, but I like to think it's a pretty welcoming place. And so I try to be part of the group that is welcoming, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously there are many, many ways we could improve on that end. But yeah, I think I don't like the idea that it's like, say, that you have to like live somewhere for a certain amount of years to belong there.
Right.
I don't think that's fair. I think if you decide this is where you want to belong, then you belong here. And yeah, that's the simple answer.
Why do you think it is that people love Batavia so much, that they're so big on shopping local? What is it? Like, what is it about this place that causes people to be that way? More so than in other places.
I think one thing is that it's still a pretty small town. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to be involved, it's not hard.
Huh.
You yeah know, and like, if you want to talk to the mayor, you can go to McDonald's in the morning and he's there.
Yep.
So, you know,
yep,
sorry, Mayor Shulkey, if you didn't want everybody to know that, but
sometimes daddy-os.
Sometimes daddy-os. Yeah. Okay. But it's not like Chicago where there's so much bureaucracy and hoops to jump through. Yeah. I mean, there's still plenty of that in Batavia, but it's like, if you want to go and have a meeting with the mayor, like, you can,
mm-hmm,
you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's easy to have a stake in the town, mm-hmm, when it is small and that you feel like your voice can be heard.
What was that first moment that you had a stake in Batavia, that you actually put skin in the game in that way?
I mean, I think I was just kind of born into it because, uh-huh, I went through the school system, yeah, and I had my favorite teachers and I had all my memories growing up here, mm-hmm, with my friends. And so, you know, it's my hometown. It's my childhood hometown. Yeah. Like, when I was living in the city, I would be nostalgic and be like,
yeah,
some of my friends still lived here. Like, and I'd be like, I want to be home for the summer, be going to the quarry and hanging out, you know? So I think I was just born into it. It was born into me. And, you know, I think it wasn't until later that I actively chose to accept that as a truth. Like, uh-huh, I think, you know, I wanted to go to school in New York City and, you know, I mean, I still want to travel the world and I am, but like, you know, I think I had any number of futures envisioned for myself that had nothing at all to do with Batavia.
Yeah.
And so sometimes Andy and I just look at each other and we go, we're in Batavia, huh?
I guess we chose this.
I guess we're here, yeah, you know? And, you know, we have a house and we have a business and my friends will joke and they'll be like, you really doubled down on Batavia. And I'm like, I know, right? Like, because they knew me in high school and I was like, I need to get out of here as fast as possible. Uh-huh. So I don't know. It's a mystery to me too. I think I'm just along for the ride at this point, you right know?
Yeah.
And it feels nice to be here right now and I can't imagine living anywhere else. Uh-huh. And, you know, I just travel when I get bored.
We all have the impulse to leave home. Whether it's a general sense of restlessness or a desire to see what else is out there, leaving home is a healthy reaction to stability. But I think through Annie's story, we can see why leaving can also be beneficial to the communities we're a part of. Annie left for Chicago for years, only to come back with renewed ideas that ultimately resulted in the creation of Hearth and Hammer. I'm someone who grew up in the South and just moved here 6 years ago, and it's heartening to me to be reminded of Annie's words, that belonging comes from having stakes in the place you live. Because ultimately, home is a continuous act of creation, one that each one of us has a hand in, not by accepting the status quo, but by pouring ourselves and our experiences into it each day and helping others do the same. Thanks for listening to Area Code Batavia. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Winter can be a hard time for local businesses, so make sure you're supporting local businesses when you can. If you enjoy this podcast, why not subscribe to our newsletter? Just click the link in the show notes and put in your email address. Not only will we let you know whenever there's a new episode of Area Code Batavia available, but each issue also brings you 5 concrete ways to experience a deeper sense of belonging in the community of Batavia, Illinois. Most importantly, if you know someone who would love to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Word of mouth is the best way to grow this community and help more people feel like they belong in Batavia, Illinois. Area Code Batavia is produced by Area Code Audio. It's hosted and produced by me, Richard Clark, with additional production help from Jennifer Clark.